Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, North Bay Section Jacks, I'm Tom Holland. Mr. Brennan Cornish, he's Jay-Z on the board. Back from Arizona. It's 2 days back, so how do you feel? Out of the sun into this wild weather, huh?
I'm just glad it's not in the single digits anymore.
Or 20 below like it was a couple weeks ago. S&P futures, look, we might rally today. Up 1375, Dow futures up 138, and NASDAQ futures up 32. It's kind of odd. Yesterday, the cash was up, but the futures were down most of the day because they had a kind of an odd close on Friday. So it was kind of an inside day yesterday. So today we've had some bounce back over in the Asian markets because they were down a bunch yesterday. So the Nikkei came back quite a bit. Not so with the Shanghai. It was still down, but they were down 600 and some yesterday. They're up 451 today. I don't know what that necessarily tells everybody, but other than the fact that they bounced back. So as a outside observer of the market and a guy who's more involved in some of the, shall we say, municipal and state financing kind of stuff, what the hell's going on, Brennan?
I think there's going to be a wide reaction to what happened over the weekend.
Yeah,
nobody knows where the political ball is going to bounce next.
Well, I don't really think that it's. I think these guys are off the hook. I mean,
well, yeah, but I wonder what this is going to mean for any negotiations over the wall. I think it's going to have an impact on what happens with trade in China, because now I think the focus will be on the exoneration or the claimed exoneration of Trump by the Mueller report. And some of those other things are going to go on the back burner for a while.
Well, the idea of the guy being exonerated from what?
Well, from the claim that there was collusion in Russia.
I don't think they're organized enough to have collusion. I think the Russians offered it, and these guys honestly never took it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had a lot of meetings. They knew there was some advantage there. They didn't know how to take advantage of it, and they just didn't.
Mm-hmm. I think more will be revealed. How extensive the connection was between anything in the Trump organization and if at all. I mean, it may be like you said that there were things that were offered by Russian connections that were not picked up on for one reason or another. But I think that there still seems to be a lot of questions based on the number of people who had been indicted that may not involve Trump directly, may not involve the campaign. But we'll see how that all plays out.
Well, is it just going to be a political mess? Are we actually going to see something?
No, I think it is a political mess right now, because right now the Democrats have put themselves in a position where they can't argue too vociferously because Mueller was, above reproach. And the Mueller report comes out and says that, the Mueller report, from the reports that I've heard, the summary and reports that I've heard, did not find collusion with the campaign and the Russians, but also did not exonerate Trump completely from obstruction of justice. They left that up to the Attorney General. And that puts up another firestorm right now, is based on some of the reports that Barr had given, had presented to the public before he was appointed as Attorney General, that whether his interpretation was skewed or whether his belief was that anything that was there as possible obstruction of justice charges could not be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, and therefore the charges weren't brought.
Well, and it's somewhat the same thing that who's the big tall guy? Did it Hillary. Said there were
Comey.
There's issues here, but we can't prove them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same deal. They're both slime balls, but they can't prove a crime.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. I was watching, I should be hung for this, but I watched both Face the Nation and Meet the Press. I can't remember which one was which. Anyway, they had this former FBI guy on one of them that had worked with Mueller in the past. He said he was very thorough, very beyond reproach, but that his style was he was going to list all the things that he found and that other people were going to determine whether that was chargeable or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly and what he did. Exactly what he
yeah.
did. And so, I mean, the obstruction, I think, is... I mean, anybody who's watched the man for 2 years, I mean, I was actually very excited. I never liked him personally. Matter of fact, I have a lot of reason for that because a lot of people I've talked to have been stiffed by the guy, you mm-hmm. know, on various and sundry business dealings. I mean, he's just a horrible person to business with.
Mm-hmm.
And he lies like a rug, as my grandmother used to say.
Yep.
But I mean, other than that, I was very excited that a third party, whatever, even though he came in as a Republican, somebody outside got it in Washington because I thought they could do so much good. And clearly, he's not the man for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, it's, you know, at this point, what do you even, I mean, he's a dictator wannabe. I mean, everything I watch from the guy, he's a dictator wannabe.
Yep.
And, the interesting part is I have a lot of people close to me that are still really drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, you know, if I ever lied to you like that, would I be in your house having dinner?
No.
The answer is no. So why do you put up with him? Well, they all lie. Okay, well, to this extent, I mean, you know, I think what this has shown, I'm trying my new thing, Brendan, is when people say something to my first reaction is, yeah, that's pretty dumb, is why are they saying what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when people do say that the Trumpies will say that, well, you know, all politicians lie. You know, it seems like kind of a dumb comment, but you know what? The more I think about it, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is somewhat of a... I never understood until this guy got in office and listened to people talk since he's been there, especially his supporters. Not just why they like him. I think it's more just a residual. They would never say they would rather have voted for Hillary, nor would I.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I think she was the biggest crook I've ever come across. I mean, for a whole period of time that she and her husband have been around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like... I, you know, some people say anybody who voted for him is an idiot. No, that's not true. I don't believe. I think that the alternate was horrible.
It's even worse.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, who knows what we would have got. I mean, she'd be a much more knowledgeable president in terms mm-hmm. of foreign policy and things like that.
Well, let's just say more traditional.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I also think, I mean, in terms of her knowledge base.
Her experience was, yes. Okay.
And, plus, I think she's a lot smarter person to start with.
Yes, I think so too.
But she spent most of that time being a crook.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, where I'm going with this is that I don't see where the depth of the, I won't say hatred, but ill repute that the average American who's down on his luck holds the average politician. I didn't realize how bad it really was.
Well, they're below used car salesmen.
Yeah, and you know what? And they pretty much are. And since I've kind of figured this out finally, I always knew people. You know, people would always rail on politicians and blah blah blah. And it's, you know, kind of a somewhat of a public sport. But the fact is, I mean, I've never come across anybody really who told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, you know what? I take that back. But they would never be elected today and hardly got elected back then. I'm talking about guys like Paul Simon or Adlai Stevenson. I think they were... Illinois had a string of electing people like that for a while.
For a while.
I even think Peter Fitzgerald was in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I do, too. He was the guy who brought the U.S. attorney to Illinois.
Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald. No relation.
No. So I think we in Illinois have actually had a bunch of senators in a row... Well, maybe stopping now because I don't know if we trust Durbin all that much. You know, as for what's her name?
Tammy Duckworth.
I don't know. I have my misgivings.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's hard to really know these people. So I had a couple of adult beverages and dinner the other night with Stephanie and her husband, and she was saying that out of the people Obama had in there. And he gets a bad rap. She said probably the most honest man in the whole administration was Eric Holder.
Huh.
And the lady before him, who was somebody before or after him, not so much, but said he was...
Oh, Loretta Lynch?
Yeah. Said Loretta Lynch was not the same kind of guy. or person?
Well, Loretta Lynch was a person who had Bill Clinton walk out of the plane and then didn't know what to do about it. Get him out of there. Instead, she allowed him to talk with her for half an hour on the plane.
Yeah, that's, you know, it was a bad move. I mean, it just didn't look right. And so, I mean, you see this stuff happening, and but the relentless part that really, it really concerns me is that with all this crap going on, people fighting this, that, and the other thing, the incredible takeover by a few people of this country and the business side in the last Bush, Obama, and now is something I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at what happened in our industry. There's like four people in it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the other, you know, I mean, any monopoly is totally. Yesterday, I heard on the way home how there might be more combinations of airlines. We only got four.
I didn't hear that.
I mean, what are we talking about? And people wonder why there's no high paying jobs. Because the demand keeps getting cut out by constantly taking somebody over and laying everybody off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the redundancy and duplication in the back offices.
Well, but I don't think that these guys. I think the reason for these mergers are simply to control price and to control product. And I don't know that. I mean, I would say that one of the things, I keep bringing the guy's name up because the guy talked on so many different subjects. Milton Friedman really wanted to do like two studies, and he never got around to them, is what he told us. One of them was he really thought that if you studied it deeply enough, a monopoly is almost better than oligopoly. He thought he could prove it, but he never did.
Mm-hmm.
And he also felt that when you reach a certain level, that somebody taking somebody over, it's more inefficient than it is efficient.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when somebody the size of like Upjohn or Squibb or somebody gets taken over, you're probably not gaining anything. All you're doing is gaining a huge amount of money for the people leaving in stock, and I mean, they're gaining. Then you're laying the rest of the people up, but you're not. You don't end up with. If it was more efficient, you end up with cheaper prices, and you never do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he thought he could easily prove that. That there, you never end up, the determining part should be when you, at the end of the day, if it's so much more efficient, all the drugs should be down 10%, and they never are.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is, the widgets or the hamburgers or something.
Well, that's also one of the, you know, whether you're talking about things like the pharmaceutical companies or not, even when they say we've got to keep our prices high for this drug because they've got to pay for research and development.
Bullshit.
And for a long period of time.
Bullshit.
But the counter argument to that point is, then why do your profits still go up astronomically year over year? You know, if you were barely making a profit year over year, then arguably you've got something that's correct there. I mean, if you're increasing the price of you know, some drug or keeping the patents on it so you can't have a generic competition, and you're showing no growth or even a decline or just about slight growth in your profits from year to year, that's one thing. And even if you are at a close to break-even point with your profits, but your executives are getting a 50% increase in their salary year over year, that's not a good argument to sell to the public.
No, but the point, I guess, you can have these arguments all you want, and to be perfectly blunt, they're useless. Because if somebody has a patent and there's no competition, they're going to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a rare case where somebody buys, you know, an aspirin company where the aspirins are 5 cents, and then 2 weeks later they're $5 because there's no other aspirin. If it's so egregious, you might have a bunch of idiots in Congress, and I don't mean that individually, but collectively, have their little group where one guy talks and leaves the room, and they really don't care except their own face. You might get that, but you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have these conversations about how much should somebody get paid,
mm-hmm.
you're already out in my mind. You're off the reservation.
Yeah,
because you're
because
you don't have to go and in a triply tap and figure out and worry about how much Nick gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Nick paid himself $1 million, there wouldn't be a triply tap, right? Right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's way above market.
Yeah.
So when you start talking about, oh, Joe deserves $20 million instead of as Merck. Why? Is Joe a chemist? Well, no. Was he around when any of your big drugs were put out there? Well, no. But he knows where all the other ones are, and he buys those companies up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I mean, so what exactly, how do you ever get to that? You can never have this argument in a non-competitive industry. You, How the hell do you, does the ICC in Illinois, who's probably a bunch of blithering idiots anyway, I shouldn't say that, but...
Allegedly.
But how do you expect them to tell Commonwealth Edison that their CFO, instead of making, whatever he makes, could make half of that if you put out an ad?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we're not paying for that.
There's a counter-argument to that for the free market capitalists that say that's the marketplace. If you want your CEO, if you want a good CEO, sure, we can get a CEO in there for $100,000 a year, but you're not going to get a quality CEO because the market for CEOs in the industry nationwide is X, and we're paying our CEO X or even X plus because we want to make sure that there's loyalty there.
Okay, so what would a rogue like me say to that?
What you just said when I made the comment about the farmer, you sneezed.
What I would say to that is you're only comparing other monopolist CFOs.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the board members on these corporations, especially larger corporations, are inbred. They serve on multiple boards and they back each other up because many of them are CEOs, and they know that if they allow Chief to be paid $1 million bonus or a $10 million bonus this year, that it's likely that some of the same board members will vote for their bonus.
Hey, you give this guy a raise, you give yourself a raise.
Sure.
As my attorney for the moment, what's the statute of limitation on spilling the beans on a place?
I'm sorry, on what?
On spilling the beans on a place where you're no longer held to, like, board...
well, I think it depends on whether it's a federal crime or a state crime.
Well, there's no crime here. I just talking about stuff that I wouldn't have a while ago.
Well...
Suppose, like, the guy's dead and it's been 20 years. 25 years.
Yeah, you can probably say something about that.
All right, well... There I was on the CBOE board, and they went out and got a guy. When the market was real bad, like in '87 and so forth, the people at the top allegedly didn't have raises for 2 or 3 years, which was all BS because they got increased in pension and everything else. Plus, they were high enough as they were, and it's a way of, so they bring in this. What do you call it, guys? Consultants that do money for people or salaries, compensation consultant.
Mm-hmm.
They did just what you said. Matter of fact, you could be one of these guys because you could keep a straight face while you're delivering this BS. I couldn't. see, he's a trained attorney. That's why he can do this stuff. You can keep a straight face even though you're telling a total lie. Just saying.
No, I can go up to about a 75% before I...
Yeah, the immortal words of the late contributor Bob Golden. I asked him on the air, I said, Bob, because he used to go overseas and talk about the double Dutch sandwich and, basically keeping people's money overseas. He'd say he'd be in front of the IRS. I go, Bob, how could you possibly keep a straight face when you're spinning this thing and these idiots are picking it up? And he goes, for 800 hours an hour, you can keep a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they bring in this compensation consultant. They did just what you said. What do the chairman of the other five exchanges make?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they immediately equated our guys to the CME, which is about four times the size. The New York Stock Exchange was about five times the size. And it's in the Board of Trade.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look down at, like, the Cincinnati or something like that, or the Pecos, right? The schlump exchanges like that. So they said, oh, no, your guys are, like, way underpaid. And a few of us... thought we were being sold a bill of goods, which I think we were, but somewhat of a raise after 3 years of not getting one was not a big deal anyway. And to be honest with you, the CBOE was very well run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the place was spotless. The people, and they weren't bad guys, and they didn't. I didn't mind a raise, but the whole thing sort of bristled at me. So one of the other board members, not that he's ever a contributor to the show, because I wouldn't name his name, the next meeting drops on a Cranes thing that says, okay. The CBO at the time was, I'm going to say maybe a $250 million place,
mm-hmm.
revenue-wise. And so he drops on the local board table with the people there that were trying to vote the raise for. That out of all the, there was like 15 companies that were $250 to $400 million in the Chicagoland area. And every guy there was making like half of our guys. So it was just a different set.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what a business that does $250 to $400 million here, which here's what you pay to CEOs. In quote, competitive businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So our guys are making, I'm going to say, 950, because they didn't want to do a million for fear of the Ford flying around. So they're making like 950, and all these guys are in the, they're between the 250 and 400 range.
Yep, so that's a significant difference.
It's a huge difference. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, I, you know, this is 1997, so I don't remember the companies, but it's basically a who's who of places we know in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-range people, that, you know, manufacturing companies, some are chemical companies. You know, $4 million back in 95 was a pretty good-sized firm. It wasn't, you know, Searle or you know, or Monsanto, but it was, you know. And I'll tell you what, talk about a fart in church. I mean, it was just did not go over well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? You're comparing us to those guys and not like the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, that if you aspire to be in the ranks of the big boys, you've got to be able to pay comparable to attract the talent to lead the companies like the big boys do.
Well, to a point.
No, I'm giving you your argument.
Oh, sure, yeah. But I mean, but the thing of it is, I mean, if you were to go to a lot of these places, and but my bitch really is that's what they do with everybody else. These board meetings sometimes, and we never did this, but I think on some of the other places, they spend half the time trying to figure out how to play the bottom 50% less, and the rest of the time how to pay the top 10% more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just. But once you get into this thing about how much should a guy get paid, and it's not competitive, you might as well try and, you know, fill up, you know, overshoot a river by peeing in it. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going nowhere with that argument, because who can say? The only place it can say is like in the grocery business, which is competitive, and the farm business that's competitive. You don't have to worry about people get paid what mm-hmm. they get paid. But clearly, Commonwealth Edison, if the guy makes $1 billion and tries to put it in as an expense towards raising people's rates, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or can be a problem. And he's going to say, well, what do you mean? Nobody else could do this. And you and I might say, there's 100 guys that'll do this. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they'll do it for $100 million rather than $1 billion. You know, give us a break.
Well, there's also a difference between products that are being sold because people want them and because people need them. When we're talking about pharmaceutical companies, the medications are necessary to keep people alive. So, I mean, there's an incentive for people to pay that no matter how
plus
high the
price.
Plus
the third party will pay it. Usually.
Plus the third, yeah, the insurance company will pay a large part of that or a significant part of that. But if you're talking about, you know, some other service like shirts, you're not going to have the same, there's not the same need there for the public to buy it. I mean, how many shirts do you need compared to taking medicine that's going to save your life today?
Well, how many shirts do you need now that you're retired versus when you were a full-time lawyer?
Fewer.
That's what I'm thinking. And that may be the same kind.
And that's the same kind.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Brooks Brothers, they wonder, where the hell is that Brennan guy? I haven't seen him in a while. Now you're over at L.L. Bean, you know, or someplace. Which is all right. A little more comfortable over there, you know.
They are. And they, you know, the shirts are just as fine for the purpose that I want right now.
That's right. And you still got a few in the closet just in case.
I do.
And they still fit, which is even better.
They still fit, which is even better. Exactly
yeah.
right.
You don't have like the one end where you kind of go to. Did Jackie Gleason say he had three complete wardrobes?
Mm-hmm. One for different weights.
Well, one for when he was fat, one when he was on a diet, one when he was regular.
Yep.
You know, like those old shows where you look at the guy and all the entire show was, there had to be 10 fat jokes in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you look at him, if he walked down the street, you wouldn't even think he was heavy.
No. That's the amazing thing. You're absolutely right when you think about him. And he was considered huge when he was, remember when he was the bartender?
Yeah.
On a show? And, but the
Joe the bartender.
Yeah. He always had the cigarette dangling and the drink in his hand, even as the bartender. And you don't see that anymore on TV or, I mean, you can't smoke in most places now.
What was his, that was when he did the crazy Guggenheim thing. But mm-hmm. who's the guy that he was always talking to in the monologue that was never, it never showed?
They
always poured a beer for.
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name.
Oh, well, it's a good one. I'm sure Jay-Z does not remember the guy's name.
Yeah, I don't.
Mr. Dunahy, remember?
Yes.
It was, what a great thing. Jackie Gleason was very cool doing things on his own. He was believe it or not, I had like 5 classes in college in drama.
Hmm. I can see you on stage.
No, that was a, I had one as a freshman, and the guy was such a terrific professor. He was got his master's from Yale and his master's from Harvard, his doctorate from the Yale School of Drama. Just a brilliant guy. And so then I took one more, And then when I weaseled out of Italian, they made me take like a couple of questions or things in Greek tragedy, and he was teaching those classes too. But anyway, he said that Jake Gleason was one of the most spectacular actors of the generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting? He goes, anybody that can do comedy can easily do drama, not mm-hmm. the other way around.
I agree with that, and I've heard that same statement before. You know, you're touching on something else now with the recent scandal in colleges, not only in the corporate world, but what college do you go to in order to improve your earnings and your contacts?
Let's kick that one up after 7. We get rid of we'll have Joel and Kenny. And once we're done with Joel and Kenny talking market, let's talk about that, because it's kind of, to me, it's a fascinating study in economics.
It is, and legacies.
And just why, you know, when Lou says you got to have a guy from Harvard, otherwise you can't bill out a guy from Marshall, even if he's smarter, mm-hmm. same rate as first year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is insane. Mm-hmm. It all ties into, anyway, S&P futures now up 1450, NASDAQ futures up 3750. Looks like we're going to have a winner today. Of course, we look like this on Friday too, but I don't think we're going to spend today. We'll be right back. We'll tell you all about it later.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it is time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Brendan Cornan, Jay-Z, Justin Zaluski on the board.
Yeah, Maddie Weber.
Looking very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed over there. SP futures up 1250. Joel, give us a sec. NASDAQ futures up 33 and a quarter, Dow up 134. We've got over in Europe, they were very toned down yesterday. Today's still pretty toned down, but up. DAX up 25.2%, FTSE up 23.3%. Heck, around a little bit more, up 36.7%. But still not a whole lot going on over there. Germany went negative with their interest rates again. I don't think people are buying this game about the third time through, but we'll see. Nikkei up 451, making up three quarters of the 600 and some point drop yesterday. That's 2%. They were down 3. Shanghai down 45. It's another point or percent they have under 3,029.97. Hang Seng up 43. Call that flat or 0.1%. Oil is up 84 cents, 59.66. Threatening to bust through 60 again. Brent is up over 67. OPEC is cutting again, allegedly. Well, I don't know if you can trust those dudes. RBOB, 194. Pretty soon, we'll be over $3 in gas here, so it's up like a buck on the year. I don't know inflation. Don't worry about that stuff. Just listen to your guys. There is no inflation. Silver down 11 cents. Gold down 8. Still 13, 14. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports, Jay-Z?
Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago is going to look clear and sunny today. High of 41, low of 30. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 89, low of 57. In basketball, the Bulls were off while the Suns lost to the Jazz, 125-92. In baseball, the White Sox beat the Diamondbacks 6-3, and the Cubs beat the Red Sox 3-2. Blackhawks and Coyotes both off, and no accidents to report. Back to you.
Joel, how are you, bud? Joel with us. I heard him a while ago.
Sorry. Hey, Chief. How you doing?
All right. What's up, man?
Oh, March Madness around here. That's about it. I get an excuse to be mad for the whole month of March.
Yes. Hey, we were just talking a little bit about monopolies before you came in. You wonder how they start. Do we really need Uber to buy a rival this early in the process?
Do I think they need to pay $2 billion? No, I don't. I guess you're trying to expand. I really don't know what's going to happen with Uber, what's going to happen with Lyft on Friday. That's the big IPO.
Yeah.
Besides, the big cities, if you live out in, Peoria, Illinois, and you need to go to the grocery store, are you going to wait 5 minutes for a driverless car to come? So, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. We'll see how Lyft comes out of the gate. But obviously, Uber feels they need a little bit more exposure worldwide.
Well, just goes to show you, all you need is a couple of politicians basically up your behind, and you can destroy cab companies, licenses, and everything. Not that I was ever a fan of the way the cab companies were done, but the idea that you can just run roughshod off over all that stuff just because the mayor's brother's an investor is kind of odd, but I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, what I thought was kind of interesting, too, and what I think the biggest problem is going to be for Lyft and Uber is the driver retention. To bring them in, they offer them, if you do 10 rides or 15 rides this week, we'll give you an extra $100. So they're losing money to keep new people, and there's a pretty high turnover rate. If, the people make money at first and then So that's going to be the biggest problem. Also, I also thought it's interesting that, you know, it really doesn't kill your insurance rates that much to do it. You have to personally insure yourself to do it. But like I said, I mean, I'll be interested to see where this Lyft IPO goes. Of course, we'll get a lot of people buying it off the hop, but I wonder about, you know, where it will be a year from now.
Well, they don't make any money, so that's an issue.
They lose money.
Yeah, they're losing big.
It'll be one of these things, yeah, like where's the growth going to come? I mean, they're already losing money. Are they, you know, I guess the street will gauge them on, you know, if they lose less money.
They'll make it up on volume.
Well, what's
that's the plan, but, you know, people are going to be giving up their cars. Like I said, you know, big cities, yeah, rural areas, I don't know. I don't know, you know.
Well, I get the part when they... Just on an economic question, I don't want to go into this too much. I like talking a little NCAA with you.
Of course.
If you essentially drive the cabbies, meaning the permit holders, the license holders, out of the business, you essentially have said anybody can come into this business. Well, what would stop the three of us, and we'll bring Jay-Z along, from having 50 drivers in Chicago in a specific area and having our own app and say we don't need those guys?
I mean, I just think the, you know, economies of scale to do it for, you know, 50 drivers, you know, to create the app, to have the infrastructure to support it. I don't know. I don't think it'd be worth it for 50 drivers, Chief.
Well, but I mean, but we could also just say we'll pick people up on the street. We'll just become a cabs without a, and we'll give everybody our cell phone numbers.
Well, I think you'd have to have a smaller geographical area. Like you, that might work, say, in Lincoln Park, that you're going to have
people in Lincoln Park.
But not citywide. You wouldn't be able to do that the way that Uber and Lyft have done that citywide or nationally. But if you wanted to do a small area, pick Auburn Gresham. Have a company like that for Auburn Gresham folks.
But I mean, there were people when I lived at 70 West Huron. By the way, right there where the guy got shot this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys.
Take that information, Chief.
Yeah, it's interesting. There were guys. In the neighborhood, those are the only guys you used. I mean, Red's cab company went down in the morning. If I took a cab every morning, I think I took Red 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's always in front of my building. We're going to the airport, and during the day, he had a bunch of contracts with hospitals to run blood samples from place to place, and he made a nice living. Now, why can't he just be in business without a medallion?
Mm-hmm.
What if he never and just give everybody his private phone number?
Well, there are some car companies that do that.
For airport rides and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, that guy's not trying to, you know, IPO on the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange.
I guess my question is, have we decided that only Uber and Lyft don't have to be a cab company and can basically be a cab company, or can anybody do it?
The scenario that you're putting it, anybody can do it.
Really?
But yep. It's not going to work from a financial model because you're going to be limited in the number of drivers and the service area that you have. That's
well,
going to
okay,
be
but if
it's enough
people in there, what's the difference?
If what?
If there's enough people in there, what's the difference?
No, I agree. I think that somebody could start up as a competitor to Lyft or Uber. And you know, the precedents are being set right now for that type of an industry. And the destruction of the cab industry in places like New York and Chicago.
Well, I'll give you an example. Audrey is a allegedly a Lyft driver. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But now I bet she's picked up three people. But what she does is, if she's out showing a house and 40 miles away on a Monday morning, she turns the thing on, and if there's basically a grandma wanting to go to the doctor going back the way she's driving home, she picks her up. Okay, now why can't the five of us retire out to Orland or someplace? And during the week, you have our own little app, and just drive the little ladies back and forth to the doctor in the grocery store.
Well, I think that goes back to Joel's comment.
Yeah.
The cost to construct the app and have the infrastructure and...
Going down by the day, buddy. Going down by the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, true. But also to be a viable service company. If the five of us are doing that, are we all going to be out on the road at the same time, or is somebody going to take the overnight
shift? I'm saying on some level, I guess the question is, can anybody join? Or is it just these guys?
You know
theoretically,
what,
everybody
you know
can join.
What's going to turn this is when they have driverless cars. Then none of us will do it. We'll just have little cars going around picking up people, and they won't need you or me to drive them. So that's the future. Whoever develops that is going to be the winner the winner in the Uber Lyft category. But, Chief, I only got like another minute or so
yep.
here. NCAA, did you know that that player that missed the tip-in for Duke was at Michigan for 2 years, Aubrey Dawkins?
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yep. And then his dad got the boot at Stanford, moved to UCF. He wasn't playing great defense. Beeline didn't like the defense he played, but he transferred anyways. But great game. One of the best college games. I'm 13th out of 298 people in my bracket. I'm unfortunate. I had to go with Duke. Duke is Duke. Bunch of young freshmen. That's the only thing that's going to get them. They start 4 freshmen and I believe a sophomore. So as much as I hate to mention Michigan State, they have a lot of experienced players. That Cassius Winston
yep.
is just an incredible guard. They got a lot of older players, and sometimes that makes a factor in the tournament. Michigan has a tough matchup against Texas Tech. They're great. It's going to be like 61-59 game, low scoring. They're both really aggressive. Two of the top 5 defensive teams in the country. So it's going to be a battle for the Wolverine.
And the 2 most exciting games, one was the guy who absolutely traveled in the one game and didn't get called. If you saw that one. And in the Duke game, Duke game, you can't tell me the young LeBron didn't blow through that guy on his way to the basket. These guys swallow their whistle the last minute every game.
Yeah, you get the calls. When you're Duke, you get the calls. You know, he's a big bagger. He's fun to watch, though. I sure hope the Pistons get him. He's a fun player to watch as long as his shoes don't blow out on him. I think he'll be okay.
I think the game should be straight. And if you watch these games, there was maybe 3 or 4 close games. Every one of them, to me, was decided the wrong way by the referees in the last minute by not making a call.
As long as we don't have an all ACC final, Final Four, then I'll be happy. Three Big Ten teams, though, out of the Sweet 16, you got to be happy with
Big
Ten performance.
And they would have done better if they weren't playing each other.
Yeah, they had to. Well, you have 8 and 64. But we'll see. I'm going to be up late on Thursday night, 9:39 start. So
oh, really?
I don't like having that on a school night. But they're out west in Anaheim, Staples Center. So I don't have much of a choice.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Talk to you next week. Hope you guys are still in it. SP Futures up 12.75. NASDAQ Futures up 33. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamale, Mr. Brennan Cronin. She's Jay-Z. He's filling in for Mr. Matt Weber, who's down in Atlanta on assignment. Jay-Z, I'm still looking for the tapes of the baseball players you interviewed last week.
Blame my friends. They wouldn't come with me to the game.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, I'm blaming Kenny Pulcheri. He wouldn't go with me to somewhere where I would have won the lottery.
I wish he'd come with me somewhere where I'd win the lottery.
Yeah, but what about, you'd be the guy in the commercial where you'd say, "Here, come on over here and grab this beer." Meaning, as I was buying the ticket, the next person got the winner. You see that commercial? Yeah. Anyway, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
All right. What do you make of? Well, now we're going to be up today, we think. Although we were up 14 points on Friday, Kenny, I'm going to say to you, my friend, you could have fleeced me big time on Friday, because after Thursday's run up with nobody in the way,
right?
I wouldn't have bet you 30 cents to win 1,000 that what happened Friday was going to happen.
Well, I thought that Friday was going to be weak, and I put it in my note that I thought that going into the weekend after the run-up, you know, there was Wednesday was down, Thursday was up, and that potentially it just felt like Friday was going to end the week weaker. In fact, I didn't think it was going to end as weak as it did, but, you know, I did say in my note, you know, if it broke through 2832, 2800 would be the level that it would probably seek, and bang, it landed right there in closer at 2800 on Friday night. Now, you know, then you had the talk over the weekend about the inversion of the 3-month T-bill and the 10-year bond, and which I think is a little bit ridiculous, because I think really the technical indicator is really between a 2 and a 10, and I made that note yesterday in my note, I made that observation in my note yesterday as well, that I think the conversation about the inversion of the 3-month and 10 bill was a little bit overdone, right? It's just, I think it's people trying to look for a negative, pile on top of kind of the negative tone on Friday, and just push it even further. I thought that was a little bit ridiculous.
Yesterday you saw the market kind of waffle around a little bit,
not really collapsing, but not really taking off as it's
trying to digest. Okay, what's important here? What does this really mean?
Does it mean anything? Are we as
close to a recession as some in the industry are now saying because of this inversion?
I think it was all overdone, and this morning I think it tells you that, right? The S&Ps are up 14, the Dow's up 150 or 160 points on the Dow futures.
I think people are not going to start paying attention to that, because I think the key one is the tens and the twos. And the tens and the twos, there's still plenty of room. They're not nearly inverted. And so therefore, I think that's going to settle right down.
I'm going to say an awful lot of 30% of the population never got out of recession.
Right.
another 20 are probably our buddy Matt Weber, our usual executive producer you talked to on Tuesday, says he's never saw so many people in the Chicago area in his industry, which is in the, they do credit card security. The amount of layoffs in the last 6 months is dramatic. Yeah. And in areas I thought were absolute layoff proof. it's, I mean, there's stuff going on, Kenny. I don't know what's causing it. I almost can't put my finger on it. But I will say this, that I think the numbers we get don't represent any of what's going on. I mean, I just...
No, but I think technology continues to...
We're losing you, man.
It continues to happen in our industry.
Kenny, can you call back? Because you're coming in and going out.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll call you back.
Yeah. I don't know, Brandon, I'm seeing some kind of weird stuff with the layoffs and things. I mean, I was surprised that Maddie was talking about that last week. And, you know, I mean, are you seeing that? I mean, in our industry, it's always the one layoff after another since there's only four people left making markets and everything. But there you go. That's better.
I'm better now. Can you hear me?
Well, yeah, way better.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that the action was overdone. And look at today. Futures are up. The Dow is up. The S&P futures are up. And so it appears that, you know, the market's trying to find 20. I think we're in this 2,800, 2,850 trading range until we get clarity on China trade. That's what I think.
Well, when you have, I won't give you and Dr. J grief, but when you have a station that's been talking about an inverted yield curve for 10 years and you finally get it, how do you drop the subject?
Well, the station can't necessarily, but see, I'm not necessarily arguing that the inversion between a 2 and a 10 isn't something to be concerned about. That very well may be. I'm arguing that the inversion between the 3-month bill and the 10-year bond is ridiculous. And that now they're just looking for any inversion to make a story out of. I think that's the wrong story to make. I think the story should continue to be on the 2s and the 10s, because that's the one that's much more indicative of a coming recession. Unless all of a sudden you could prove to me that the inversion of the 3-month and the 10-year is also very indicative of a recession. I don't think it is. So therefore, I think it was just more negativity piled on top of, you know, the negativity we saw on Friday. It was one of those days where you pull out every negative story you can, throw it against the wall and see what sticks. I think that's a false argument. I think it also just raises unnecessary fear.
Well, how about if I run this one by you? And you can, of course, kick back that I'm an idiot. But I'm going to say that the entire inversion is caused by the Fed, for some ridiculously stupid reason, is paying member banks 2.5% when the real federal funds rate, if they weren't doing that, would be probably 1%. And they're entirely causing the inversion because they can't wait to give banks more money, because the more capital they have, they think they've done their job. Next time something happens, if they don't go under, just going to keep giving them other people's money, so they have so much money they can't screw up. I mean, that policy is insane.
Right, but Fed funds at 2.4% and the 10-year at just below 2.4% is exactly right. And so therefore the Fed shouldn't be paying. The Fed should be paying 1.25%, 1.5%. But to your point, they're not, and maybe that's part of their plan to try to stem the tide, give banks more money and hope the banks lend it out. I don't think the banks are going to lend it out though.
No, well, they haven't for 10 years. I mean, how do you have people of that, Kenny, if you and I were on the Fed board, one of us would have popped up and said, hey, after 8 years, guys, we can't wait to give these interest rates at zero. It looks to me like credit card rates are up. I don't think our trickle down theory is working so hot. Does anybody not rock the boat like that? Is that why you and I are not on the board?
Well, I suppose, and it is amazing when you look at revolving credit card rates at ridiculous amounts, considering where supposedly long term rates are. Right? I mean, all the other rates come down, mortgage rates have come down, all that, revolving credit rates continue to go higher. And I don't know if that's a direct result of there's a bigger default rate maybe on revolving credit, and so therefore they try to steal as much as they can up front, knowing that, you know, X amount of these are going to default and they're going to lose out. I'm not really sure why, but we should really discuss that, because you're right, and somebody on the Federal Reserve Board should discuss that.
Well, I came close to that, and if you ever come back out here and visit, like you threatened, I will gather you up for an adult beverage with a couple of my Fed buddies. And I was basically bitching at them about this one night, even though they're not anywhere near policymaker kind of guys. They're brilliant economists that do settlements and things like that. They're incredible to listen to, Kenny. You'd love some of the stuff they do. And he says, well, do you have any idea what the default rates are? And I said, well, let me ask you this. There's always another question. I said, if somebody goes out and buys furniture, and all of a sudden he's paying his bills, and then he has a medical problem, in 3 or 4 years from now, he, quote, defaults. And how many of those instances has he not at least paid for the furniture two times over before he defaults?
Right.
And the guy says, well, that's an interesting question. Nobody keeps those stats. I says, well, maybe you should. Defaulting on 24% interest plus late fees. I can see anybody defaulting on that. It doesn't mean you defaulted on the widget you bought in the first place.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I think that's a big problem. I think it's a really big problem, and I think it's one that doesn't nearly get as much notice or as much discussion as it should.
Real quick, this probably never happened to you, but we do have a Sam's membership here at PTI. So I go and I get the thing, and I said, it's a credit card too, right? So, of course, they don't find me with the credit card the first month. So I get the bill the second month. I think I spent $225 there for stuff in the office, paper and things like that, and I never got the first bill. Guess what the charge was for the first month, for not getting the bill? Between the interest and between the late fee.
The late charge?
And the interest.
$50.
$75.
Really?
I mean, how the hell do people... I mean, I can at least complain about it because I can speak good on the phone. What if English is your second language and you get on the phone with these people and try and talk about it?
Right, you can't.
Can you imagine? Anyway, Kenny, sorry to be a downer for you, buddy. Look forward to seeing you on the show. Talk to you next week, and we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Brennan Cornan. She's Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures up 15, so up, make that up 16 now. NASDAQ Futures up 44, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get a nice update today. I'm a little PO'd at my gold here, being down 940, because I just kind of pressed to the upside yesterday a little bit. So, yeah, who knows, I got a week and a half. I might still get there. Famous last words, Brennan, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it's one of those situations that if you pick a price you want somewhere during the week, you're going to get it. it's kind of one of those times in the market. At least it is until you start planning that way.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before we went into the half hour about the some of the local elections, and we're also talking about are we settling back into some kind of a slowdown?
I think we are.
And what is? Are we ever going to get these numbers correct from these people? I mean, it just bothers me when we continually talk about the wrong numbers. And I also want to talk a little bit about the Mueller report. And I was reading from the USA Today yesterday that the amount of the people that are going to jail for lying. What are they lying? I mean,
why would you lie?
Yeah, why would you go to jail for this guy?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I don't know why admittedly, if you're a member of the mob, allegedly a member of the mob, you would go to jail and not turn on anybody. But I don't understand why
gets taken care of in the mob, at least.
That's right. But in this administration, I don't know that anybody should expect that kind of loyalty in reverse.
No. I mean, it's sort of amazing to me. This has always been one thing I learned is that you can never lie on a show like I do in the morning, because to try and remember what you said every single day if you're ripping off whoppers,
mm-hmm.
you find that if you answer every question that somebody sends in or any question you ask truthfully, you don't have to remember what you said,
because mm-hmm.
you know you'll answer it the same way the next time.
Right.
Which isn't to say that over time, when you have people on the show that are pretty darn smart, that your views on things don't evolve.
Well, they should.
They should.
As more information comes about, as more education is gained, your outlooks change. The facts will change. The facts as you perceive them change. I mean, the numbers probably won't, but still, your understanding of them will change.
Well, the more I do this. probably the more hard to listen I get to be, because I skip all over the place. The reason for that is all this stuff I talk about, if you look at it from an economic point of view, it's all the same story, Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
I was not shocked at all about the college entrance exam scandal.
Yeah, that was an amazing story.
But does any of it shock you?
No, it doesn't. I think that's been going on for years and years and years. Now, the amount of money that some of these folks are spending to get their kids into school, it was shocking to me. I mean, $400,000, $500,000 just to get your kid admitted into a school, that surprised me.
Well, but the thing, it's been going on forever as long as you paid off the school. I have two backgrounds that are kind of interesting, and I think you have two as well, but they're slightly different. One is you have the South Side nuns beating an India mentality on what's right and wrong. Same thing as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet on that, on the moral scale, we're about as close as anybody could be.
I agree with that.
Yet your background is more law and mine's economics. So mm-hmm. we're going to look things a little differently, but half of our analysis is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably half of the other half was
about probably the same. Yeah. So which is okay, but still we find things that the other guy hasn't figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't get what when you start talking about. There's no doubt that if somebody comes out of Notre Dame and pours money back at the place, which I would never do. Every year, and he has kids, the feeling is that if my kid's on the bubble, he's going to get in. Not if he's a total idiot, but if he's he or she,
mm-hmm.
he's probably going to get in. That if there's a way they could get him on the yes pile versus the no pile, they will.
They'll find a way.
And yet now, for some of my friends, that hasn't happened. With mm-hmm. kids that were, and they're not giving them another dime.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is you can essentially use the term bribe the school. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you bribe the admissions person, well, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you and I know.
It's not a bribery to the school. You are contributing to the capital improvement program when you have you have the Chiefs' new building, a 20-story building that you contributed X number of dollars for with your name on it.
What did Rodney buy and back to school? Was it the Sutton Library?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, to make sure that his kid got in it.
And, no, he got it. He got it.
That's right. And his kid was a diver. Remember
Yeah. Well, the kid got it on his own. I think he paid for himself to get it. But, so I mean, in my day, when you're pretty much the same, I'm going to say at Brother Rice, we took at Marist, and they thought they were far advanced. There were a freshman and a sophomore test called a PSAT.
Yeah, I took that.
And there was a way to at least get you used to taking the, you know, standardized tests and so
yep.
forth. But the standard point of view was you couldn't really study for the SAT or the
mm-hmm.
ACT.
That's right.
And
they didn't have the courses that they have now to anticipate.
Well, they
those.
Didn't think you could gain on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know from taking all the security exams, the practice tests are especially if the guy puts them together from people's knowledge of the other test,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find a few in there that are on the test.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We also, I think we took the SAT twice.
You took the achievement test.
Okay.
We took it once, and you had to take but the achievement
test. We took both the SAT and the SAT.
Right. We did. But then
Notre and the Dame, PSAT.
Well, Notre Dame demanded the achievement test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what soured me on these tests, totally. That's in our day. That's what happened.
I mean, mm-hmm.
So now it gets to the point where people have courses in the ACT. Tommy Shanahan tells me his son took essentially an ACT practice test when he was in like seventh grade or
mm-hmm.
some ridiculous crap, in my opinion. Maybe eighth grade. So by the time they take it, they've taken an ACT like test, you know, 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's really happened, not 40, but maybe six or seven. All that's really happened is when I was. I got a 32 composite, which at the time was 99 percentile, like 99 and a half. Now a 32 probably is what, an 80? Maybe?
I don't know what the correlations are now.
Maybe 80, 85. So everybody just kind of walks up together, but it makes a huge dramatic difference now for somebody who doesn't have, quote, this stuff. Now, getting in the middle, if you actually think that a education at Notre Dame is that much better than Northern Illinois. I happen to think that if you actually go to class and do what you're supposed to do, the education is probably pretty similar,
mm-hmm.
especially at the undergrad level.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you're going to probably have smaller classes. I'm not saying there isn't
a reason. And you wanted the contacts.
Well, then there again is the thing. But now, our friend Jean, you've met her,
mm-hmm.
who does the admission at University of Michigan.
Yeah.
She'll flat out tell you, and I'm not talking out of school, that if there's 2,000 people that they say no to, and there's 300 people they let in, there's got to be 300 people in the other pile that you know can, quote, do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, if I were to look at, first of all, you wouldn't let this slide out the door. You're too smart for that. But if I were to look at the application from, you know, say you know, well, Jay-Z's already into Paul, so she doesn't need any help. But say, you know, Jay-Z starts to wing her application in, and I look at it and I go, Jay-Z, what are you doing? You were on the cheerleading team for 4 years. Put it in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, you volunteered at this church.
Put it
every
in
Friday. Put it in there. I mean, there's always going to be somebody, and you know, I might read the essay and say, God, don't you know the difference between a period and a comma?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing. I mean, there's people doing that all over the place. Now, when does that become legitimate help? And when does it become a professional? I know just what to put down here. And by the way, you're on the girls' lacrosse team. And Jay-Z says, well, I was never on a lacrosse team. Well, didn't you try out your sophomore year? Well, yeah, then I didn't like it. But you ran a lacrosse team your sophomore year. Now when you start, shall we use the term embellishing it? Then all of a sudden you start flat out lying.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just were on the lacrosse team sophomore year when you tried out. Now you were on junior and senior. And oh, by the way.
You were the captain.
Yeah, you were the captain. You know. So, I mean, at what point do you stop on this? Because I also know that a guy who played baseball at a place down south that graduated, you know, I'm going to say 10, 12, 15 in his class, no dummy, he was a smart kid, got an academic ride to Stanford and a valedictorian got flushed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're not asking me. You know, so, I mean, so if I were to know the baseball coach and he were to, even though my kid isn't the world's best baseball player, or my daughter isn't the best softball player, if they're good enough to at least try out, the coach might put in a word, say, you know what, this kid's good enough if he grows over the summer, or she loses 10 pounds, or whatever it is, and it has a workout program over the summer, they could very well make my team, you know, if you get a chance, let them in. But now if I paid this guy 20 grand for that, I suppose the 20 grand makes it a difference. But what if it doesn't? What if he actually said, gee, you know, Jay-Z, if we could put her on a weight program and put 20 pounds on her, she might be a softball player next year. What if he just says that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does she jump ahead of 15 other people that are smarter than her? I mean, obviously, it's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
And people just economically said, what's it, what was the, God, what was the movie? Oh, remember Star Trek? The Voyage Home?
Mm-hmm.
Where Scotty says to the guy, If I were to show you this transparent aluminum, would it be worth something to you? And the guy goes, yes, it would. Okay, if I can get your kid into Stanford, would it be worth something to you?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if the answer is yes, in America, allegedly a free society, somebody is going to find himself that job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody's going to pay, and somebody's going to be there to be paid too.
Mm-hmm.
And so all
but I think there's a big difference in what you talked about before. I mean, the person who will help teach a kid how to take a test, how to think about the test, how to look at four questions and say you can automate, even if you don't know the answer, that you can eliminate one or two of those questions so you're going from a 25% chance to a 50% chance of guessing at the answer. Or look at how the question is structured so you know what's really being asked. That's one thing. When you get to the point of going to a coach for the lacrosse team or the sailing team and say, you know, my kid has an interest in sailing, can you recruit them or say you're recruiting them? And, oh, by the way, here's 25 grand or here's 100 grand.
Well, when the money enters the picture, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
In the school's mind. Mm-hmm. But if you gave the 25 grand to the school, it's okay.
So long as there's no correlation, correlation to say.
Yeah, but come on.
Hey, I'm just telling you the arguments that would make that plausible deniability. That's what happens here.
I'm building this gas station. I just gave the alderman $5,000. Is there no correlation between me building the gas station and not getting harassed?
I can make an argument that no, but that's the plausible.
That's because you're an attorney.
No, but see, that's where things get tricky. And at this point, even on the national political scene or the state or local political. Places that the what is a plausible explanation? Is it credible? Probably not. But is it plausible? And that's where a lot of things happen. That's why, like in some of these investigations at the national level, you're not going to see a case where somebody from the Trump administration and somebody from the Russia administration meet in a restaurant in downtown Manhattan out in the public. You know, that's just not going to happen. The old movie scenes aren't just going to happen where everything is laid out in front of you. It's done more surreptitiously. You know, the codes that are saying, the words that are being used. Like, you know, if I mean, think about some of the old movies, the gangster movies. You know, the guy said, hey, Chief, are you going to rub out so-and-so by just shooting him on the street next week? You're not going to say that. You're going to say, Chief, that thing we were talking about last week, you know, that that thing that I've been taking care of?
Yeah, I took care of it.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Good. Garbage taken out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
Will anybody rid me of this meddlesome priest? Who is that, Jay-Z?
I don't know.
Was it Henry the Fourth? Henry the Fifth? Thomas the Becket?
Thomas the Becket.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
was it Henry the Eighth?
Not about Henry the Eighth.
Henry the Eighth.
I learned early on some of this stuff, and I say learn. I'm, you know, a lot of people know a lot more than me, but we went to Vegas, our first trip. And we go to a show, and everybody says, hey, you know, if you want a decent seat, you got to duke the maitre d', right? I don't know who the hell we went to see. And I walk in, and it's like, we were early, because that's how young we were, right? And we were kind of early, and it was one of those, at those times of the show's like maybe $15 and included like four drinks, and you got to see somebody good. This is, you know, this is 1977, 78. So I walk in, and I give the guy $20, which was a lot of dough back then. And the maitre d' looks at me, and I don't know who was with me, JD or somebody, and he immediately moves us to a spot like, one part off the back row. I'm sitting there going, so JD says, gee, how much worse could we have gotten if we didn't give him the 20? Well, what I learned pretty quick is the next time I held on to the 20 and I said, we want to sit down there. And if, once he took it, I made it a transaction. And I know, I said, I want to sit in front. And I held the 20 in the other hand as I'm pointing with my right hand. And I knew right when he grabbed the 20, I was going to get the seat I wanted because it was the completion of the transaction.
That's called consideration,
yes.
Offer and acceptance.
That's right. So then we would get a good seat for the same $20. So I think it, as time goes by, you don't just give the $500 to the alderman at a thing and walk out. And,
mm-hmm.
and just as and you say, by the way, I need this guy off my back. Aren't you having a fundraiser next week? I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it a quid pro quo.
Mm-hmm.
You learn pretty quickly not to just give people money. I mean, you would not get me to send a dough to one of these political guys, just, you know, $2,000, $3,000, whatever it is. What's the limit? Two for an individual? $2,500?
$2,600?
You wouldn't let me do that in a man in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I went there and said, here's what I care about, and at least get the guy to listen to me for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea, just, send Bernie $100, and you know 5 million people send him $100. Or any idea what he stands for, or what he's doing? You couldn't get me to do that with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I want somebody to know. And I don't expect me to do everything I want him to do. I just have some kind of an idea. This city's corrupt. Are you part of the solution or part of the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Am I going to read about you voting against something that everybody else voted for someday? I hope I do. By the way, here's 500. But at least some message
mm-hmm.
of, you know, I just want you to be honest. I want you to be something. I mean,
well, that's also the theory of when do you make your capital contributions. Do you make capital contributions to a politician's campaign and then set up a meeting with him and tell him that you've been a strong supporter for years? In which case the response
too late.
Well, thank you for your support. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
As opposed to the scenario that you posed, where you first have the meeting and then just say, let me know when you're having a fundraiser or when so-and-so is having a fundraiser.
Right, and he may say, I'm okay, why don't you go to this guy's fundraiser? Because
mm-hmm.
these guys, that's the big thing now, by the way, is if you go to a deal, chances are you might be supporting somebody in another town.
Well, you know, that happens nationally, but that also is one of the things that's tripping up Tony Preckwinkle right now because of the $10,000 contribution from that Burger King operative that was asked for by Alderman Burke, allegedly. Went to her campaign.
But, I mean, I will deny this. Deny is my attorney.
Plausible. Remember, we're looking for plausible deniability.
Let's just say that I've been to a couple where I went to Brendan's, fundraiser.
Golf outing.
And I went to, golf outing. But I wrote the check out to Lou in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Denver are writing theirs out to Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brendan can say, I don't take contributions from my constituents.
That's right. Plausible deniability.
Yeah. Because, no, Lou gets mine and I get his.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
The world we live in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
the more you understand it, you almost like, I think most people in their 80s that have seen all this are probably ready to get off spaceship Earth.
Well, I mean, that's why things get more complicated, to really prove things like collusion or extortion, because it's not as simple. People have evolved over time. The political machines have evolved over time. The contributors have evolved over time to make it less easy to determine what's really happening.
Well, I think that we've had, I mean, I've mentioned this before, when it comes to these elections, and we're going to see it again in, well, we just saw it. Well, no, well, I don't think we're going to see much of an election. We have a tough one in our group, although I'm leaning more toward our incumbent. Are you going to vote again me?
I'm debating.
I don't like the idea that the guy's got too much money coming from outside the ward.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Well, that's one of the things when you talk about, I mean, you know better about it than I do, but I'm going to say the Constitution was written by a bunch of rogues, and they knew what rogues were.
Yeah, that's why they have so many checks and balances.
Yeah. But I think there's two things they didn't count on. The corporation that will never die, because it was done. And I don't think they ever anticipated a local election for a representative being powered money-wise by somebody in those days that was 8 days by horseback away.
Mm-hmm. No, there was no way to foresee that happen. But, you know, the checks and balances were put in place to try to eliminate as much potential corruption as possible as they saw at the time.
But they didn't anticipate a Boeing that is way too big to spank. Not that they need that. I mean, they probably do on this plane, but I don't see how. There probably isn't a congressman that doesn't have a checkbook from Boeing.
Oh, I would find that impossible to believe.
So, I mean, it's
and
not like
not only the people who are in office right now, but a lot of their competitors. You're going to find Boeing going, and many large corporations play both sides of the fences.
Yeah.
Now, they may give, you know, $50 to one and $100 to the other, but they'll play both sides.
Well, sure they will. Can you imagine the people winging out money for the mayor's thing last time? You had to give money to at least four or five of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is have we reached the point where you can't count on anybody to regulate, you can't count on anybody to stand up to these people. I mean, Trump, I think, actually tried and failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went from, you could be crude, and I won't be, you know, what's her name, the female head of Boeing shows up at the White House three times, and all of a sudden everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were some crude dude, you'd say something, but I won't. Question is, what went on at those meetings? What happened? And I'm not talking about, you know, what the guy in the trailer park would think the obvious was. I say, how do you go from we're dumping this, the Air Force One, because you're ripping us off? We're dumping, you know, they're part of the, I think they're part of the F-35. I'm not sure the whole thing, but I'm not positive on that. But the we're dumping all these programs, and all of a sudden the stock goes up $150. Mm-hmm. The guy's first year. I mean, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everybody who came basically to kiss the mistletoe, in more words of Daily One, the company ended up, they were being vilified during the campaign, they ended up fine.
Mm-hmm.
All the drug companies, everybody who went there and basically gave him a photo op in front of them and basically bowed down,
mm-hmm.
and those companies are fine now. It has nothing to do with what they're doing before or after, because that hasn't changed. Maybe it's gotten worse, if in fact they're doing anything wrong. But I mean, it's, have you ever seen anything where you come and give homage to the guy and you're okay? I mean, that's a dictatorial thing. It's like
and that's been going on for years.
Well, not to the same extent, I don't think. I don't think Gerald Ford or John Kennedy or, you know, some of the guys that I thought were pretty straight, that you know, all you had to do is go there, give them a photo op, and all of a sudden they'd look beyond everything you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think so?
No, I don't think so. But again, you're talking about something that was 50 or 60 years ago, when things were not quite as developed as they are right now. And, you know, I think that
People were always crooked.
Well, people were always crooked, but I think that that the background of the current administration is different than even the Kennedys. When you bring up the Kennedys and the business dealings of Joe Sr. Was different than what Jack Kennedy did when he was in office.
Well, I don't think, to a large extent, I don't even think Nixon was as corruptible as this guy.
Oh, I don't think so either. Nixon was more about power than he was about panning his own pockets.
Yeah, you wonder.
I agree with that. I think the allegations of between the two are a much different scenario.
Well, you know, the interesting part is we went from, I don't know what phenomenon we went from, but I think in the words of Newt Gingrich, we went from the Trump phenomenon is just a carryover from the Obama phenomenon. Mm-hmm. We want somebody outside of Washington. We want somebody to rock this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going on. The four young Democratic congressmen that were on one of the shows, which is the show that's got Margaret Brennan.
That's Face the Nation.
And the other one's Meet the Press.
With Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd, okay. Mm-hmm. It was Margaret Brennan. So they said to the one guy, poor guy looks just like Putin. She goes, what was your message? He goes, that's easy, the same as Trump's.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is corrupt, and we're going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
We're young, and we're not corrupted, and we're going to go there and change things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we just tried that with Obama.
But look at the difference. Obama didn't have a hotel a couple of blocks away from the White House.
But I'm saying this young guy, Beto, whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, Beto O'Rourke.
I mean, now where we want the next 40-year-old young guy who may have his heart in the right place
mm-hmm.
is going to land. He's going to find out the ending done. He's going to become more corrupt than the guy before him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to Obama. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy got absolutely lost in the magnitude of the job, in mm-hmm. my opinion. He did this, started out with a pretty good idea on health care, and immediately was either too lazy or not smart enough to follow it all the way through detail-wise. Ended up with some colossus that I'm sure he never even dreamed he was going to get, and then didn't have the stones to turn it around. I mean, he let the insurance companies write his plan, for God's mm-hmm. sake. SP Futures up 14 and a quarter, and NASDAQ Futures up 38. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, North Bank Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ozzie. Brendan Carnation is Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 12 and a quarter. We said some crummy housing starts came out in February, especially single-family home starts. So it's dropped us a little bit. It's rolling out 1250, but still up. It hasn't touched the NASDAQ at all. Still up 33.75. We've got the Dow still up 131. Notable movers in the Dow. Apple's up 2.25. Was down yesterday after their meeting. Now today, all of a sudden, maybe people think they're coming out with Apple Pay. How the hell is that going to be anywhere near the margin as other stuff? I think those guys, I don't know, I'm a big Apple fan here, Brennan, but, and again, not my job to tell people Apple what to buy. They do what they want to buy.
Well, just think about where Netflix was a number of years ago when you had things like Blockbuster in every corner.
Yeah. Well, there's a million payment plans, but, anyway, DAX up DAX up 42.4%. FTSE up 18.2%, CAC around up 42.8, so slightly to the upside there. We got movement, Nikkei up 451, 2%, which seems like a real lot, except yesterday we're down 650, so we made back maybe two-thirds of that. Shanghai down 45, 1.5%, 29.97, Hang Seng up 43, 28.566. Big rally in oil, up 83 cents, 59.65. RBOB, 194, wow, I paid 279, last week, and actually I would have, but I didn't get gas. The week before, 236 out in, where the hell was that? Where do they make the, where's the Chrysler plant?
Oh, what? Belvedere?
Belvedere. Gas is cheap in Belvedere. It's almost worth the ride. we got gold down, 790. It was down 10, but it's, coming back here a little bit, 13.14. Silver down a dime, 15.46. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and what's your NCAA prediction?
No comment.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I mean, I made a bet at the Bulls game the other day, and I lost $31, so I don't even think I should be allowed to make an NCAA prediction.
Why would you bet the Bulls against anybody without points?
Honestly, it was just because he was just, like, going into the game with such a bad attitude. Like, the Bulls are going to, like, this game is going to suck. Like, the Bulls are going to lose.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I was like, well, if you go into it with that attitude, they are. I was like, maybe that's why they're so bad, because all of their fans think they suck.
And there's a direct correlation between how the fans feel and how they perform.
Yeah.
Anyway. Morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Chicago's clear and sunny today. High 41, low 30. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 89, low of 57. Bulls and Suns, I'm sorry, the Bulls were off last night and the Suns lost to the Jazz, 125-92. In spring training, White Sox beat the Diamondbacks, 6-3. Cubs beat the Red Sox, 3-2. Blackhawks and Coyotes are both off and still no accidents to report. Back to you.
The difference, I think, when you say they still suck, they want to suck.
Yeah, why is that?
Because they want to lose. They want the number one pick.
The question is, are they losing enough right now? You know, every now and then they just make this spurt when they got the new guy Otto Porter. They just made this spurt where they're not losing enough games to catch the three teams ahead of them.
Well, but you still got to win the lottery.
Yeah.
So they don't.
Well, and where they are right now, they've got a 12.5% chance as opposed to moving up to the third spot, where the 1-2-3 places have 1-2-3 worst teams have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. Still, it's relatively small, but you know it worked for Derrick Rose when they were able to get Derrick Rose as the number one pick a few years ago. And they had even less of a chance when they got Derrick Rose.
Yeah, they were they were like the ninth worst team. Yeah. They were like a 1% chance or something.
It was a really low 2.5 or something like that.
It's to me there's this professional sports thing. The difference between the people who like to talk about it and the people actually are paying for it. Maddie Weber and I used to go round and round about this when I still had my Cub tickets. And I say, you know what, Maddie, I got $200-some worth of tickets for today's game, and they just traded away the guy who was going to pitch. Now the guy's got a minor leaguer coming up, and by the way, they suck even more today than they did yesterday. This is when the Cubs had those four really bad years everybody forgets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't give these things away. I mean, well, Chief, you're in for the long haul. I said, wait a minute. Now, if Tom Ricketts, who I'm not a big fan of, not because he's a bad guy, just because, I mean, if he were to say to me, if you get the whole season ticket package, we'll give you a 10% discount. Or, oh, by the way, when we get good, we promise not to raise the price for a year or two. I'm not saying forever.
Mm-hmm.
They never threw you a bone.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting when you're looking at the philosophy of playing for the lottery pick. And that is, people refer, I've heard a lot of stories about, like the Bulls are playing too hard right now. Don't they know they're supposed to lose? But there's a difference between telling professional athletes that we want you to lose, the point shaving scandals or things like that. Or the coach.
Yeah.
Or do you just bring up the JV and play them at the varsity level? I mean, do you bring up the guys from the development league and put them on the Bulls so you know that from a talent standpoint, they can't compare, they can't compete.
Well, you think these people are all hurt the last few games?
hurt to the point where they can't play, or hurt to the point where you're really protecting their future, or hurt to the point that you want them on the bench?
Some definition of all of the above there.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Finley got in trouble with that a number of years ago when the A's went into the World Series. And one of his guys, his shortstop, had a bad arm or had a bad game. And all of a sudden that night, he was deemed by the medical staff to have a significant injury that apparently healed very quickly when he was told that when Major League Baseball stepped in and said, we don't think that that's really true. You just want to put somebody else on the team. You got to wait for a while longer.
Well, I don't know how it definitely moves around, but it used to be that the gentleman's story was, even in baseball, if you were out of it, you played all your good guys when you played a contending
right. If
somebody, team.
If you're playing a team that's on the bubble to make the playoffs or to win the division, you play your best team.
Right. Now I think all these bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the difference is, I think they look at the, I'm going to say, what the hell, there was somebody on, one of my buddies went to the, our buddy Greg went to the opening day with some people that have seats like right behind, the visitor's dugout, I think. And, they were talking to one of the Cub executives and they said something to the effect of, 70% of the people in the park do not buy their own ticket.
Hmm.
Or some huge number. Might not be 70 or 65. I mean, up where I was, in the upper deck, people have those tickets and they share them and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Now maybe that's all changed. But it's all, every corporation needs four tickets. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They write the check. They probably do care. But at some point, if they can't give them away, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's an investment they made early in the year. And, it's not a big deal. I mean, in Washington, the Nationals, they could be the worst team in baseball. Every lobbying firm is going to have his four seats in the bottom 10 rows.
Yeah, because when a company with a company that is headquartered in Chicago, when they go out there, they want to take them to the Cubs games,
right.
Or somebody from Phoenix wants to see the Diamondbacks when they play.
And the difference is, kind of sound like a, I'm going to say that the, if there's such a thing as, if you want, whatever, want, let's put it this way. If you ever want to see like an average looking person, male or female, you will not see anybody anywhere near the average line sitting in those seats. I was astounded. It looked like a beauty contest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sitting there going, you don't see 100 people looking like that except on TV. And there they were all in basically the lobbyist seats in the National game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. It was. I'm sitting there going, this cannot be. No wonder these people are screwed up to live in Washington. I mean, all you do is come out here and all you have to do is look good and you're going to games and everybody else's tickets and I'm sure the drinks are on them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I always worked in like a factory on a trading floor where people were slugging it away. I never was in a place like that. I don't know if it was an education piece I needed to have and missed or what.
Mm-hmm.
I could see you doing something like that. Having the big high-end seats for the law firms and having the four guys that should be on The Bachelor or the four women should be on The Bachelorette in your seats mm-hmm. every night. So I can see you doing it. Or the skybox. Supposedly, the toughest struggle for anything like that was all the lobbying firms fighting for the skybox at mm-hmm. that park.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and yet they had two. When did this all change? I mean, I think it changed, Brendan. I mean, and Lou is somewhat of a agreeer with me, which he never does. This all changed when I first worked for Pullman. I'm sure when you first started in business, you could say to people, "We're going out to dinner, and we're going to go to some bar, or maybe even a strip joint or something." Although, well, we never did that. But the people in New York were always into the strip joint places. I know coming from Chicago when I was on the board and stuff, we go out there and I never, but it was always a car, because everybody had cars afterward, right? Because they all lived in the burbs,
mm-hmm.
and you missed the last train. There always was a car that went by the strip joint first. And I can honestly say I never was in that car. I just said, you know what? I flew in today, it's 11 o'clock, I'm going to the hotel, I'll see you guys in the morning type of thing. And none of the guys from Chicago participated in it, but all the guys there, if you got them out for a night, they were out. That mm-hmm. was in New York. Maybe it's because the exchange opened an hour later out there or something. But here you saw people going home at 10 o'clock. I mean, mm-hmm. out there, not exactly, for the young people. So what I'm saying is it became less and less okay to just say, we're going to have dinner and have 48 drinks. It has to be an occasion. We can go to the game and we can have beers all night. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. I mean, am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, so you need, I use the, and I think the professional franchises have really been the beneficiaries of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't see anybody taking five people to the Playboy Club anymore because it's not even open.
They don't have them anymore.
They don't have them anymore. So, but in those days, you could. You didn't have to masquerade at a Cub game skybox to get basically bleeped up with mm-hmm. all your guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just different, and I think they've benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an occasion. Anyway, so let's get back real quick. From an outside guy, even though you're obviously not outside being on Stacks and Jacks every week, what do you make of the, the world seems to be slowing down again, especially in Europe, and yet everybody's going back to, and I'm not trying to lead the witness, the Japanese are going back to negative interest rates, Germans negative interest rates.
Well, they've never left them. The Japanese haven't left them.
They never left
them,
but the Germans, they just popped back.
They reduced them, but yeah. they've never really abandoned it.
And now the Germans are back slightly this mm-hmm. week. And now are the Japanese going to buy more of this? I mean, is there an end game to this? If they own all the stock, for instance, then what happens? I mean, they're owning a significant percentage of their ETFs and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know the answer. I don't know where it's going to go. And there's a certain point where you lose leverage if there really is a downturn in the market. I mean, that's one of the things that the Fed is looking at right now. How much room do they have to maneuver if there is a significant downturn? Yes, they're not raising interest rates because they're anticipating that, but if there is a downturn, how will they adjust and how can they adjust? They don't have room to maneuver the interest rates too much because of where they're at right now and where they have been for years.
Well, what is, I mean, the end game, obviously, from a business standpoint, and I had a discussion with a guy the other night who's on the, I believe he's on the Policeman Pension Board. Nice guy, real bright guy. And talking about people getting made promises and this and that and the other thing. And responsibilities there too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if
John's here.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry, running a little late.
Oh, no problem. We're talking a little bit about pensions and endgame and what it means to the market, and is this rally going to hold today? Because last Friday we both thought it was kind of going to hold. We're now 55 points, so I think we better take Friday off our scoreboard, our scorecard. I don't think you were that adamant. I thought we'd actually be up after we were up on Thursday, and boy, that didn't work out. But we're talking about, I mean, the difference between, government endgames and essentially business endgames. I mean, if PTI Securities has 25 employees and we promise people all these kinds of pensions and we put some money in the plan and there's not enough in there, and all of a sudden one year we go, hey, by the way, how about if we give everybody a raise instead of putting money in the pensions? And everybody goes, here, here, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the teachers did, you know, so they're complicit in this, in my opinion. Uh-huh. Now, all of a sudden, it's 15 years from now, and there's not enough money in there, and PTI has to plop $1 million in there, and guess what? PTI is 48 cents. Guess what? You get what's in there, or the thing goes under, or if you force PTI to try and do it when they don't have it, guess what? We declare bankruptcy, which we'll never do, I hope. And all of a sudden, the thing comes tumbling down. There's an end game to it. I mean, not a pleasant end game, but there's an end game to it. And yet, now when you flip over to the governmental side, and what happens in Japan if they buy you, and John, you and I have talked about how much stock they've bought. What happens when they now own 70% of the market to where there really is no market? What happens to it? By the way, this is not unusual because a lot of the big banks in Europe, when John and I were over giving lectures in the early 90s, owned 70-80% of all the companies, which is bizarre because they're considered good capital there. So what's the end game in Japan if they still have problems? Now all of a sudden the demographics hit to the point where they can't, you know, even with paying zero interest, people can't give you any more money. Or here, we get to the point where the city of Chicago just can't write the next check. And there's not enough people. I mean, what is the end game for government? Because they seem to think there is none. And yet I'm thinking there is one. I mean, they had a guy on TV years ago, and this was a great quote, I think, Brendan. He says, can the state of Illinois go bankrupt? He goes, they cannot go bankrupt in the sense they can use the bankruptcy system. But they can go broke, in which case a check bounces. Okay,
and people, well, the check doesn't bounce because the check is never paid out.
Okay, all right. But if it was, it would bounce.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean, they can go broke. Now, the federal government, I mean, it's sort of the same way. What happens when Germany, essentially the European Central Bank, owns a boatload of bonds that they bought at a price where they actually owe money on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have? What would happen, John? You think? Hopefully not physically, but certainly. I guess if there is such a thing as suits and arbitrations, if you took a fee for managing Brendan's dad's money, and the first day you put it in bonds with a negative interest, to where you put $1 million in there, and over the course of the 30 years, Brennan's dad gets back $990. And by the way, you're charging him a percent a year to do that. Well, that
what a deal!
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's going to go over seriously like a fart in church, and he's going to say, "I got to pay you to do that." I mean, how do you even go about doing it? Well, that's essentially what the central banks have been doing in these countries. They're buying bonds. Right. At the end of the day, they're not even going to make their money back. Right?
They're right. They can't make their money back.
So how do you... So they're going to lose money every year on these things. Why? I mean, and they keep thinking that the next year is going to be better. First of all, this is America. We always think that the next year is going to be better, but what if it isn't? I mean, is there a fallback position to this? Or do they not pay? What is the end game? They can't go out of business like a firm could or a company could. Has anybody thought this through, or no? You just keep hoping to kick it down the road. But I'm not trying to be doggy downer today, saying, well, you know, the U.S. or something's going under, but when you start doing stuff like that, somebody should sit there and say, well, what if it's 20 years from now and we haven't got any better? Then what happens?
Definitely.
I mean, you read during the Depression, and I'll stop talking, where the reason why people in the government didn't just want to pour money into the system was they said, God, this is really a bleep hole, what we've got here. What if we pour money in the system for 6 years and it doesn't get any better and now we're broke? I mean, there's one way to make this worse is to throw a bunch of money at stuff that doesn't work and all of a sudden we're broke and we're stuck. Right? I mean, does anybody think that the German or the Euro Central Bank has caused enough growth for the debt they've incurred? It's hard to tell. They will tell you yes. But empirically, have they? What about here? Nobody has an answer. John, what do you think?
Not really, to be honest with you.
I mean, we've picked up, our debt is going up 5% a year, and our growth is 2%. Does anybody think that formula works? But I mean, but Brennan,
obviously, there are some politicians who think that's going to work because there's been an abandonment of any fiscal responsibility.
Well, because they constantly think that I mean, Trump sold his tax thing on the Reagan essentially tax plan.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? If we cut taxes, everybody's so much better off that the economy actually grows, and we end up with more money in the coffers than we started out with.
And it wasn't true then, and it's not true now.
I mean, you could have, at some point, you could have, in 1946, when people poured back from the war, you could probably have pulled that off just because of the timing. Mm-hmm. Right? There's times you could have, where growth has been so fast that you could have done anything and not screwed it up, basically. Mm-hmm. And there's also been times when growth has been so horrible that you could have tried any stimulus package and it wouldn't have worked.
But oftentimes the growth is as a direct consequence of a really big war.
Or some kind of innovation.
I think more it was related to war. Like after World War II, it was a big boom. There was a lot of stuff done through Vietnam to get the economy moving after that for a while. There's a transition from all the wartime production into a civilian production post-war.
I'm going to say that the aftermath of the Vietnam era was negative because they poured so much money in the system that it caused all the inflation in the late 70s.
Okay.
So I'm not so sure that your Vietnam example is a positive one. World War II, yes. Actually, you know what's probably even more was the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was more innovation during the Civil War.
That's true. In the 1880s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was a lot. That's when the railroads started.
Yeah, it's when the railroads started.
Yep.
And the amount of growth during the 65 through, when did the war end? 60, I don't even know. 68?
The war ended in April of 65. Or May of 65.
Well, 1865. So between 65 and 75, there was a massive growth spurt. Even, mm-hmm. a lot of it led by railroads. We opened up areas that were never even, all of a sudden people get their grain to market, not to the market. But also what happened was you started counting stuff that used to be barter, which is what the Chinese are still doing to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a place in, let's say, southern Illinois, and I was a good cow guy, and you were a good corn guy, I might be giving you milk and you giving me corn, and none of it was counted. Now, as soon as there was a railroad, and I could sell my milk in town, and you could sell your corn in town, now they're both counted. Because
mm-hmm.
now I'm buying the corn, your corn in town, and you're buying my milk in town. So some of that growth is actually overcounted. Well, it was undercounted before. Let's put it that way. Because you don't count anything in a barter system, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So having said all this, Jen, we only got a couple minutes. Does this rally hold and keep going? Or are we going to turn right around like we did last Friday?
No, I think you move up a bit here today, Tom. And then, how many days will we have in this in a row is anybody's guess. But, I think you'll move this up. That's what they want to happen.
Oh, yeah. What about our gold? It was creeping up every single day. We had a great couple of weeks. Last night I pressed.
Great day yesterday, right.
I don't know. And I pressed it to the upside thinking maybe we broke through and now we're down this morning. Is it just me? Did I cause it to go by myself, go the other way, or what?
You did. No, I'm just kidding. The good news is I was able to partially put on some of the calls. I did cover some of that, which I think is was a pretty good move. I mean, only time will tell. But like we talked about last week, I think with these type of things on the precious metals, they're just partially cover them when you do.
Well, you did the right thing. I mean, as so far, I did a repair. I thought I could goose it a little bit. I did the 23.5, 24, 1x2. I paid a penny for it. And it's not,
right.
I mean, I paid nothing for it, but I paid a penny for it, not nothing. But thinking we might get to 24 and I could double up.
Right.
It's like trying to stretch the double into a triple, shall we say.
Exactly.
But I got a much better luck with this than I would have actually running. What do you think, Brendan, trying to stretch the double into a triple? If I made it to third without any kind of hamstring issues, and there's no way I'm sliding at this age. So
right, that's what I was going to say. You can slide, Tom.
You can't slide. No, you don't. No sliding after 40 was my rule.
Okay.
Just
that's a 40-30 rule.
That's a 40-30 rule. No sliding after 40, so you better make sure you can make it. SP Futures up 12.75. NASDAQ Futures up 36. By the way, who's going to make this last hockey spot? You guys or our guys playing tonight? Are you going?
No, actually, I probably won't be making it, but, you know, hey, I'll take the Yotes. They need it.
Oh, God. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks. Thank you, Brennan. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jay-Z.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.